plagued a potential nugget.
And going back to VC investing as a career option, one of the things I'm always curious about is, what are the must-haves or nice-to-haves, both in terms of experiences and traits for people to succeed in this profession? And specifically, I'm curious about what's different here versus investing at different points of maturity, let's say PE investing or, you know, seed investing. Again, I'd love for you to double-click on your take on what's the recipe for success, if there's one.
Yeah, so I think seed and VC are somewhat similar.
Correct.
The traits are about the same. Mm. I think the weightages are different. Mm. What I mean by that is, so at least I'm a strong subscriber, and I think broadly the whole world will agree to the same traits, that in seed and venture, you're pretty much have to have a grip on, as the market view becomes important because market sizing is very important. Mm-hmm. In seed and venture, you're playing a lot of high-risk bets and hoping that some become massive, which means you can't ignore market sizing anymore. Mm-hmm. There is no concept. Angel is very different. Mm-hmm. Angel, you're playing for your own money. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind putting money in a beer house, which gives me 10 times my money. Mm-hmm. But if that journey was 10 crores to 100 crores, as a VC, it's totally uninteresting. Because I'm not looking for predictable small multipliers in dollar terms. So that's the difference, right? Which, by the way, is more like private equity investing. Hmm. So I'll come back. So it's almost like...
The risk-reward profile is very different, is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And so if you're doing seed and venture, therefore, you're playing every bet you're making, you're hoping that you're shooting for the moon. Hmm. And relatively speaking, so one could be a $100 million moon, one could be a $1 billion moon, but their moons never...
It's not a $10 million moon.
Yeah. There's nothing like a $10 million moon in the venture business, right? So when you're shooting for that, then you have to truly want and enjoy shaping your views from the market and where the world is going. You can't sit in a corner and say, I'm distanced from everything and I can build despite that. Everything, all market forces influence you.
Yeah.
Customers, regulators, who will put money into your companies next, IPO markets eventually, everything. And then, of course, what every VC in the planet will tell you, founders, team, founders, team, founders, team.
Yeah.
So your entire judgment is on judging people, and which is what I've realized is a super tough job, judging where people might be 5-7 years from now. Hmm. In terms of their maturity, their ability to scale an organization. Do you see this guy as a CEO of a 100-person company? Hmm. Because reality is, 9 out of 10 times, that's the odds you're playing for.
Right.
You're not going to get in a professional CEO at that level. And it's not about him and two buddies somehow figuring it out. Can he scale to that? And those are not trivial, is what I've realized. Mm. In private equity, all these risks are stripped out. Mm. You're not playing for any of these risks, actually. You're just playing for business model risks, founder integrity, because you're giving him a boatload of money. And in India, the fear typically is, people, when they're giving their money to these founders, they figured out the founder got here without too much money. He knows how to cut every corner. Hmm. So can I trust him? Can I trust him to use my money wisely or only in his self-interest? And that arguably is a problem everywhere, but I'm just saying the value systems and the ethics and lines are grayer in some parts of the world than in other parts.
Sure.
Right? There are not as many black and whites in India, right? And so private equity then becomes understanding competition, understanding whether this business model is viable, understanding whether I can grow 3x, 4x, and also knowing that I'd never want to lose money on this. So look at this mindset shift, right? I'm actually modeling an Excel model, showing it to my LPs and saying, I lose money 4 out of 10 times. It's built into the DNA. And there the guy says, I can't lose money even 1 out of 10 bets. And I've spoken to 3-4 PE investors, and that's what they tell me.
Hmm. So, and how do you, and with such a, when you're investing in an idea which is so nascent, how do you even mathematically model for risk, right? Just out of curiosity, is there an art?
No,
how much of it is an art versus a science, right?
It's all art, actually, in the sense that the art is in the estimation. Hmm. The science is in the fact that we're also shamelessly feeding off existing data. We're not geniuses that we are contemplating how this can get there. So as much as people might say that around Facebook, there was a proxy in Google, they might not have thought Facebook might make that much money in advertising, but you have to make that proxy bet in your head.
Sure.
So at least at a certain point. In the early days, you're essentially saying, the US does that far better than us, and that's why they're the mothership of venture capital, is they're able to take this punt that if this is so sticky, if people are willing to spend time with something, eventually somebody will pay. So if you tell me, is there a science to it? Of course there's a science to it. But is there an ability to know exactly how to value it? That's an art form, right? That's a punt, and it's market specific. No disrespect to anyone in India. Firstly, you wouldn't be able to build those kind of companies in India because we're not able to think that way. It takes 40, 50 years of evolution to think that way. So even if it did think, and now with no disrespect to my US peers, there's no way I would pay the same value in an Indian market, right? Because the market conditions are different.
Right.
Your ability to monetize, that's the science. So apples to apples, same company, I will pay half the value in India. And a lot of entrepreneurs crib and say, oh, that's not fair. My peer is getting 2x there. So yeah, go build
market,
in the valley.
Market conditions are different.
No, just go build in the valley. You'll get it. You're that good, right? How many Indians have emigrated? Their co-founders in 1/3 of the valley companies, from what I hear. So go do it there. You're playing for these conditions. You also get a driver at 15,000 rupees, right? So choice. These are life choices. Truly.
Right.
Yeah, there you'll figure out, yeah, you'll ride in an Uber. You don't need a driver. But those are life choices. So there, you can't ask the VC ecosystem to adjust for, the different market absurdity that exists in some other market, right? So it is what it is. And so when people crib that, oh, VCs don't get anything here, the private equity, I said it's unfair comparisons.
Okay.
When cycles play out, people get bolder. And that's actually the art again. It evolves because it's constantly an art form. So today, rules of thumb, since you asked that question, when I'm paying some guy more than 10, 15 crores of valuation, firstly, where does that number come from? It's basically actually how valuable is the founder's time? How good are they? They're committing 3-4 years to it. How solid is the idea? But it's not about that. It's actually how much to dilute the guy. How much money does he need to get there? So this is all scientific in some sense.
Fair.
And then you're working backward and saying, okay, whatever they do with my 3-4 crores of money, can they prove enough traction that they can get beyond 60, 70 crores of pre-money in the next round? They can't. Then why would I pay more than 20? I want a 3x. That's my risk matrix. That differs from me to the next guy to the next guy.
Fair enough.
So those are the art forms which evolve. We all learn, iterate, learn, iterate.
And you have your heuristic that evolves.
It's all heuristics.
Yep.
In a nutshell, that's the right way to.
Got it.
It's all heuristics. There's a market heuristic. There's a firm heuristic.
Correct.
And everybody plays by that.
Makes sense. And if I look at people that are successful venture capitalists and once again look at where they come from, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the experiences they've had, what are some of the patterns that emerge? Do you have a sense of what that pie chart might look like?
Honestly, I don't. My sense is, even if you take entrepreneurs and you say, can all of them become great VCs? I don't think they can.
Correct.
In fact, the Valley, all this is hearsay, so I haven't seen data, to be honest. So I won't belabor the point too much, but most people say some entrepreneurs make good angels because that's their DNA, to be helpful, to help, put a 100K. They make terrible VCs because that's a different job.
And the failure mode being? And the
two things. There's a discipline that you have to have around managing money.
Okay.
When it's yours, it's a different rule book.
Right.
When it's what's called opium in our industry, very jocularly, other people's money. So when you're dealing with
quite addictive.
Money, yeah, it's very addictive, and it's a very different proposition. It's a different trap. It's not the same rule book. That's why I said you have to have a discipline around how you invest,
right?
How you exit, how you return money, and that's what my customers on the investor side, actually appreciate. So if you're telling an entrepreneur who's built tech businesses, to say now you're going to become a financial services business, which is what it is, it's not an easy jump.
Good point.
Second is the classic problem of entrepreneurs being very sure of what worked for them and almost being in denial that other models can work. And I honestly believe every one of these legendary success stories is a different, slightly nuanced, different playbook.
Right.
The broad general principles of business are about the same, right? But if you look at the entrepreneur himself or herself, that I think it's a very different path.
Right.
Different backgrounds, different approaches, different team structures. So where's the playbook? And then people who have actually experienced it and built it a certain way don't know any other playbook.
Good point.
And find it very difficult to adapt and give the benefit of doubt to other folks. So fundamentally, I honestly don't know. It's a classic mix. I think people have come from working in startups, building startups, being in consulting, being in banking. And I haven't gone and done a resume review on seeing who pulled it off best.
For me, it was interesting to note the point Karthik makes about the nuance between the risk and reward around angel investing, venture investing, and private equity. Several people often take a very broad brush approach that I'm good in finance and I want to get into investing. But like in every career path, it's worth getting into the nuanced detail about what it takes to succeed. What are the skills? Do you have them? And how much energy do you get from doing that kind of work? If this is a topic of interest, you might like my conversation with Avnish Bajaj, who was an entrepreneur at Bazi.com and now is an investor at Matrix Partners. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.